You can't wait for everything to be perfect to start living your life. And that hit me, because that's what I've done. My whole life has been like that.
I'm grateful for whatever inspirations come along. You know, I've found that sometimes in my life it's been hard to grasp on the inspirations even when they're there. You know, I feel them and see them, but sometimes it's been hard for me to really say, okay, I'm going to go do something. I'm going to take action in my own life with this inspiration. I'm not just going to let it be a candle. I'm going to let it, you know, start a burn.
Some people say, well, you know, feelings is the past and actions is what matters. And that's true. I believe that. Like, I can think all day and it's probably not going to help me act any different. And I know in my own life, if I do act a certain way, my thoughts will follow me. My thoughts really are your troops, really. They say in a lot of recovery rooms that you can't think your way into right action, but you can act your way into right thinking. Sometimes I don't know what role God is using me for, you know, and I just want to try and keep myself in the best way that I can so He can use me for the best, you know. I really believe that, you know, and I don't mean it in a way like I'm some kind of hero or anything. I just, you know, if I can take care of myself well, I believe, and I believe this for anybody, that your higher power, it can be whatever your higher power is, can use you for good, you know. And we need more good out there, and we need each other. I think there's a unique moment in different paths where you're putting yourself into the path, and then the path is also saying, hey, you know, putting its hand out, son. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that for comedians, man, at a certain point, it kind of chooses you. And when I look back, I really think it was something God that just, you know, God just wanted to keep taking care of me, you know, even though I think when I was young, when I didn't trust the world, I didn't trust God. I didn't trust that anybody was looking out for me. I wasn't cared for as a child, and I'm not trying to self-pity. I'm just looking at what was a part of my life that I wasn't cared for as a child. So therefore, I took it on myself. Oh, if I was better, if I was perfect, then I would be loved. You know, I'm not perfect enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for my mother to see me. I'm not good enough for my father to stay alive. I had this epiphany not long ago that I thought that if I was better, if I was perfect, if I did everything right as a kid, I thought this. I didn't know until just recently that I thought it, but it came up that if I did everything right, that my father would stay alive. That's what I thought for some reason as a kid. You know, nobody explained to me what was going on or how things worked or that. I go through like my morning routine and it's like I pray right when I wake up, just the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. And then sometimes I do like one other prayer, and then I read like these couple of pages of that give me help me to look at my day from afar. Like, what am I going to do today? So that helps me have a little bit more of a plan for my day. Even if it's not a strict plan, it's at least I'm looking at my day instead of feeling like my day is just
happening to you.
Yes. And so those little things like that help me. And then I'll do 10-minute meditation. And then I do 10 minutes where I just write just whatever's going on in my head.
I'm enjoying being alive these days a lot more because I want to see what else can unfold, you know. And I don't know if I always felt like that as a kid. I felt more every day was a battle, you know. Whereas now I'm like, man, there's a lot of good stuff out there, you know, and I can be a part of it, whether it's for me or somebody else. If I can just do my best to take care of myself and keep myself, I don't even have to win every day. But dude, if I can just show up and get a strong tie, dog, then it's possible.
For me, it's self-motivation is also this thing that bothers me a lot of times because it won't leave you alone sometimes. And it makes you constantly, for me, not makes you, but it makes me constantly you know, feel like I'm also not doing something, even if I'm just taking a break. You know, it kind of will never let you off the hook. It's like the blessing and the curse of it.
It's just inspiring when I see other people doing the things that are seem like the hardest thing for me to do to build for my own future. It's like every time you see it, it makes things feel a little bit more feasible.
I kept hearing, oh, stand-up comedy is the hardest thing to do. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do that then. You know, I want to do the hardest thing that you have to do, so that nobody can say that I couldn't do that. So you couldn't associate me with anything else. I didn't want to be, because I'd been part of something that people were like, oh no, we don't like this.
Right.
I wanted to say, okay, well, if you're not going to like me, then you're going to have to not like me. On my own, on my own. And so I felt like stand-up was the only way to do that, because it's just you. There's no cheating. There's no nepotism or whatever. yeah, there's no nepotism.
Yeah.
Your dad can't help you.
Right.
Yeah. You know, in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night.
Your dad can't fucking help you. He might be able to help you get you in the door. He can help. He can pack the audience a couple times, but as soon as it starts to show up on his, too much on his invoices, he's gonna stop doing it, you know?
Yes.
And so that's what I liked. There was no, I was in control over what you thought of me.
Right.
And it was totally up to me. And that finally seemed fair to me.
Right.
Because I think that life didn't honestly seem that fair before that to me.
So I'm really grateful that God gave me whatever I needed to be able to find humor, you know? Because there was other kids in my neighborhood and in the environment that in my family didn't get that. And so I think I was real aware. And so it was fun to be able to get people to laugh at moments where you didn't think they were. And then you start managing laughter because laughter becomes your main tool that you have to feel okay. And so then you start using laughter almost like you're calling plays and stuff. And you have these little... Those are my weapons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was my knives. That was my fists, even. You mm-hmm. know, I didn't have a lot of physical confidence, so laughter was it, really, for me. One of the things that I would know that I noticed now looking back is that I didn't, whenever I realized that that was my life situation, that my dad was real older and that my mom was working all the time, I didn't believe that the world was a comfortable place for me. So as a real young kid, there was enough elements in the atmosphere where I just made that choice my spirit made the choice, whatever it is, something inside of me. It wasn't a choice I made like I would make a choice now. It's like I don't trust the world to be a safe place for me. So whatever brought me into this world, whatever the elements are, these are not trustworthy elements. And not that I would treat them untrustworthy, not that I'd be mean to them, but just in my spirit knows that you have to take care of yourself. So then you start to try and manage everything yourself. So I was always really concerned with the only thing I had left then. Like, people would look at me, you know, the bus dropped me off, like, in the poor neighborhood. And my dad was so old and my mom was always gone working. She wasn't like a mom some of the other kids had. So the only thing I could control was me, how you saw me. That was it. The only piece of my image I had was what you saw of me. So I would, like, bike to school so I didn't have to get off the poor bus. I would, like, befriend certain kids so you thought I was in a certain group. I was hyper concerned with kind of image management because it's all I had left.
I wanted to seem different. Like, I didn't want people to see my background and where I'm from and think that that's me.
Right, I get it.
And it is me, like, in some of my heart and some of my spirit, but it's not, I didn't choose it.
Right. Cool.
I don't like to be a part of things that I don't choose. Like, laughter will keep you warm, you know? It's like, so if you don't have anything, poor people sit around, they're more connected, you know? There's not as much sheltering from the world. There's not any, like, hedges or any gates. All your shit's hanging out the window. It's like, so you're more like, things just are a lot more real.
Right.
It's hard to hide. Being poor is pretty hard to hide. And so... Yeah, and poor people are outdoors more. They just hang out outside more. And so you're talking with people and laughing. People are going to want to laugh, so you start laughing more. So that's, I think a lot of that just makes sense. Like, we hung outside a lot, you know.
I had so much awareness, I think. I was just so aware always. And so then, you know, I think I was making choices that I didn't want people to see me a certain way. How am I going to be? So then I got stuck in this, how can I manage what people think of me? There was times where it's like you felt like you weren't part of a plan, like nobody planned. Or if you were, it was a plan that was destined to fail. You know what I'm saying? And so then that almost makes you feel like, well, what's going on if my commander in chief here, my mother or something, set me up in this plan that doesn't seem like it has, statistically, just doesn't seem super smart.
It was kind of sad, I think, because it made me angry at time. You know, it made me very, you know, if I look at it, part of it was sad because it made me angry at time. You know, it made me feel like time wasn't fair or it didn't do things fairly.
Right.
You know, so it gave me a grudge against time, right? And maybe that sounds kind of crazy, but once you have a grudge against time, your whole perception gets altered. And there's something great about having fucking nothing, you know? Because nobody can take anything from you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you got nothing, you got literally have nothing to fucking lose. Other people say to each other, oh, you got nothing to lose. That's bullshit. You know?
Yeah.
But when you have nothing, dude, it's just, God, it's nice. Because you, I mean, you absolutely, you have nothing to lose, man. And there's no, I feel like that's as free as you could feel.
Everything else in my life since my birth felt like it was like a sentence. Like, this is who you are. You are somebody who, you know, you're not going to be in a home where you were really loved. You're not, you know, things like that. I'm not complaining. I'm just sharing what I felt like. And some of this might not even be real. That's the crazy part of some of this stuff. It could be in your head. But it, to me, it was very real. So the only thing I could still control was what I was, you know. And I was just going to hold out to try and be something. I don't even know if I knew what it was. I was just going to hold out.
This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer, and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese, and every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.